Yeah, actually, the psychology mind is the original psychology, and that's what you're starting to teach now. Because in essence, the original psychology was the study of the soul and the spirit. But the study of the spirit is quite a nebulous thing, so they couldn't figure it out, and they dropped it. And they said, well, that'll go to religion, eh? Then they started on the soul, and they couldn't get anywhere with that either, because that was just as nebulous for the simple reason they're both spiritual. Then thirdly, they developed the idea that they would go for the mind, study the mind. But the mind, and a lot of people don't know this, is spiritual. It's not a formed thing, it's a spiritual. It's a spiritual intelligence which is everywhere, because in actual essence, mind is, I'm not talking about the Freudian mind now, I'm talking about what the Eastern philosophers talk about and Eastern mystics is the mastermind. Now the mastermind, you can call it source, you can call it God, call it whatever you want. But that's what I'm talking about. So in actual essence, you know how they talk about the big mind and the little mind? The big mind is the source, and the little mind, in actual essence, is an illusion that creates all our delusions of life. So you've got to get past that. The little mind is what is attached to what you call the ego, the me, the little self, this so important thing, eh? And you think you're so important. And you think you can figure it all out. But you can't. And that's why everybody has the privilege of using the mastermind at any moment, because we are the mastermind in disguise. You are the source of all things in disguise. The body is what fools you. And you feel very little, little small, in comparison to the vastness that's out there. But that's one of the tricks. You've got to realize that that vastness out there isn't out there, that you are part of that vastness, the allness, what you call God. And once you realize that, then your happiness will start to come, because it unfolds the secret of mind. You know, when the mystics and people like that, Eastern philosophers, when they talk about knowing, and people say it's very arrogant to say that you know, but it's not. On the contrary, it's the very opposite. It's people that say they don't know that are really hung up, think themselves important. But if you ever find anybody that finds the secret of mind, I don't think you'll find that those people put any importance on themselves, because they know it's nothing to do with them. It's simply a source outside of them which is far, far greater coming through. You wake up, and that's the idea of psychology. You wake up to different aspects of behavior, and you'll never see this by going into negative behavior of the past, because that's the sickness. So all our lives right now are built on sickness. That's the foundation. On lostness. On sadness. And what you have to do to see, you have to see that this is a fact. And once you see that, it brings you to the now. And when you come to the now, you don't wade through all those horrible thoughts that you've gone through before, because you start to realize that's all it is. It's thought. It's a divine thought. That's what life is. See, there's so many ways you can explain life. It depends who you're talking to. If you talk to a religious person, naturally you're going to talk about God and whatever, eh? If you talk to a psychologist, you're going to talk about the mastermind. If you're talking to a mystic, you could talk about source. If you were talking to a scientific person, then you would talk about an energized form or a formless form, because all spiritual is formless before it's turned into form. Like, that's what we call God, that formless turning into form. And when you find the secret of the mind and form and formless, then that's what you use. You use the formless to create a form. But you can't sit down and figure it out, because then again is your own ego trying to figure it out. That's why people go into the state of meditation. It's to silence their mind, so as the knowledge from the, what you call mastermind, will come through. Because it's only your own little thoughts from the past and the present that stop you seeing what you're looking for. You know how I've said to you, Joe, and I've said to quite a few other therapists, excuse me, if you listen to me, whatever you've got now will collapse. Now, I'm not taking anything away from you. I'm just taking the lostness, and I'm giving you something that's true and real. Now, I'm not taking the lostness away from you. If it's taken you, say, maybe 8 years to find that, you've still got it. You can still use it anytime you want. But if you find a greater truth, you won't want to use the old Freudian theories and everything else, because you'll start to honestly see that you're actually harming people more than you're helping them. Because you're putting a diseased mind on a diseased mind. You must start afresh. Forget the past. Now, I'm not saying to you that you shouldn't have memories of the past, because I have memories of the past that are beautiful. But I also know, deep in my heart, those memories are only thoughts. If I've got to pick up a memory, I have a choice to pick up a good one or a bad one. People who are usually mentally disturbed live in the past thoughts. People who are healthy live in the present thoughts. And if you get tied up with the past, it's a very difficult thing to get away from. But once you see the fallacy of it, then that frees you. And this is where mental health comes. Because you've got a cleaned out mind. It's just been all cleaned out. That's why people meditate. It's to silence their own thoughts so that divine thoughts or higher thoughts, whatever you want to call it, comes in. And with this comes wisdom. The secret of all psychology lies in the study of consciousness. But with the Freudian thing, we do the opposite. We study the myth. And the more you study the myth, guess what you're getting? It's more myth. You never get out of it. You've got to go before the myth started, before the thoughts of humanity were contaminated. And if you can do that, then you're well on your way. You know, when this experience first happened to me, it was so simple. I honestly thought that I could go down to my friend who was a minister in town. And I honestly thought that I could go to my friend who was a psychologist and tell him. And it would save him a lot of trouble. But boy, it was like sticking a pin and a tiger, every time I did it. Especially at the beginning, because all it was a crazy welder with no education. But in actual fact, that's the proof of the pudding, that it was a crazy welder with no education. Like, where did it come from? Even if you get a glimmer of it, part of it, your life will expand tenfold. Because what you're doing is you're finding peace, contentment, you're finding a bit of love, happiness, satisfaction, and something that the old ego would never, never in a million years allow you to find is self-contentment and self-pride. Because the ego, there is no satisfying it. Because with the ego, the better you get, the more people look at you, the more you want it. And it's a want, it's a desire. And if you honestly find out what you're looking for, those desires and those wants will vanish. And in its place comes contentment. And then you'll get what you really wanted in the first place, without the desire. It's the desire that creates the problem, the want. It's a feeling you're lacking something. Now when you get the feeling of contentment, you're not lacking anything. And when you get that feeling of contentment, your mind goes, your little mind goes to sleep. And the universal mind takes over, and this information will go into you. It's really simple. It's so simple that I've had educators say to me, Sid, I would listen to you, or I've read your book, but it's so simple that it insults my intelligence. And you turn around to them and say, well, what did the book say? And they can't tell you. Now how can somebody read a book and say it insults their intelligence and they don't know what it says? So they don't know what they're saying. They can't hear themselves. And that's the big problem in the world. We never hear what we're saying. If you look in the mirror, say it, you might get a big surprise. You say, geez, am I that dumb? Have I been saying this for all those years and I've been missing something? And suddenly sanity comes. And unless you find sanity, you can't possibly give sanity to a patient. I know therapists that really need help. But just because you go through an examination in the school, they think you're okay. You got a piece of paper. That doesn't bring sanity. That can make things worse. And that's what the world doesn't know, what sanity is. We create our own path. And if you create a path of anger, hostility, unhappiness, you create it yourself from your own mind. It's a game of mind and thought. That's what the world is. It's all just geared from thought. There is nothing in this world that doesn't come from thought. It either comes from a divine thought, and after the divine thought, it's created into form. When the form takes its own free will and starts creating thoughts, those thoughts create that singular human being. That's why we call a free will or our individual soul. Now remember, soul is consciousness. That's really important. Soul is consciousness, because mind is the universal source of all things. The soul is the actual consciousness. Then you have the spirit, which is just the breath of life. So you can drop the spirit, forget about it, it's just the breath of life, it means that we're here, that's all. So you've got mind and soul to worry about. So therefore you've got the source, and you've got the data of the source. The data is what you would call Christ consciousness, Buddha consciousness, whatever you want to call it. It's something that people will say, well, has everybody got this? It's not that everybody's got this. Everybody is this. You can't get away from it. And this is what I see people like you in this clinic doing, is taking suffering away from human beings. And that's a tremendous thing to do, because there's no pain in the world as bad as mental suffering. And when you think to take that suffering away, all you have to do is change the patient's thoughts to more positive, and that's the secret.
A minute ago, Sid, you talked about inner pride. And what, you know, we've heard a lot about, I know I did growing up, don't ever have pride. You know, that's an ego thing, and that's something egotistical thing. But what you were talking about, inner pride, it's a different...
Well, I'll tell you an example. I know this lady, and she's an actress and a singer. And she loved to act, and she loves to sing in public. She loves satisfying an audience. Now, that's a job, and that's a beautiful job. When you think of it, if you can go up on the stage and promote happiness and good feeling to maybe say 1,000 people in an audience, what you're doing is you're in actual essence starting to put mental health into those people, even though it's only that small amount of time. And she loved doing it. Then one day somebody said to her, you know, all actors and actresses are full of ego. They're just doing it, you know, for egotistical purposes. And this poor lady was silly enough to swallow it. So she started going to therapists, and the therapist kept telling her this. So from then on, every time she went up on the stage, she didn't know whether it was her ego or you know, and she lost her self-pride because she didn't know what was going on. Until one day, she heard what we were saying, and just as fast, she got all her self-pride back. She went up on the stage, and she told me she'd never in her life felt like this. She got up, and she just knew she was giving something to those people. And now it's all. It's all just thought. Even to deny is a thought. You know? But I'm really looking forward to talking tomorrow, and we'll see what happens. In the meantime, we'll just let it go at that. Thank you.